It is the Antisocial Podcast, episode 218. This week's guests, plural. That's right, there's three of them. Jade Montserrat, Corey Davis, Mitch Brackman. They are musicians. They are from Adelaide. They play in the bands Freedom of Fear and Dissidia, and they both have released albums just recently. Dissidia put out their new album about a week or so ago called Costly Signals, and Freedom of Fear put out their album Nocturnal Gates last year, I believe the day after our album Fallen Idols came out. So I think it was the 2nd of August last year. Both awesome albums. I'm going to have links in the show notes so you can check them out. And of course, links to both bands and to Jade, Corey and Mitch's social media pages as well. Just everything will be in there, nice and easy, in the show notes. I caught up with Jade and Corey in Adelaide at their place in this really cool apartment overlooking Adelaide CBD with a bunch of drinks, having a great time. And then Mitch came in halfway through, gate crashed the podcast and just made it super, super fun. Really, really awesome. And I don't think this will be the last time that we all catch up for drinks and for chats and for more podcasting. This is just the start. So a lot of fun. This is a really laid back, chilled, just sloppy conversation of just a whole bunch of nothing, but a whole bunch of awesome. And I really hope that you all enjoy it as much as I enjoyed having the chat with these great people struggling to talk. Anyway, speaking of which, time to wrap it up. So please enjoy this great chat with Jade Montserrat, Corey Davis, and Mitch Brackman.
Do you ever find it really like hard to listen back, or have you gotten used to that over time? To the recordings,
It's tough because you. So, what I do for a lot of them, because it's so laid back and casual, I just download it, and then I send it off to somebody else now to do all the editing, and he'll just clean it all up or whatever. But I won't do any edits. Nice. But then, over time, depending on the person, sometimes they're a little bit. They're very self-aware and they're sort of hypersensitive to what they're saying. And so every once in a while they say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, et cetera. And go, okay. Or I've become ultra nervous talking to somebody that I have never met before, or somebody that I think is way out of my league in every possible way that you could think of. And so I'm saying stupid stuff, or I lose my train of thought mid-sentence or maybe I've had too many beers or whatever it is. And so I've then started to go back and listen to them, and yes, it's painful. just to hear yourself, like, just all the verbal tics that you have, like...
supposed to be something about, like, your own voice not sounding right to you because of something to do with the mechanics of your inner ear or something, isn't there?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think there is. Well, that's what I've heard, and I definitely experience that every time I hear myself talk. So I'll probably never listen to this if it goes up.
Oh, well, if you say something ridiculous, then don't worry about it. Who cares? It's tough because you pick up, it's not just the sound of your voice, but you pick up all those little verbal tics that you have. So it's all the ums and things like that, which is one thing. Like the first episode I did, which I was so self-conscious about recording, I did a little intro just to try and explain what the hell this whole thing was meant to be, which I didn't know. Yeah. And I was so the self-esteem wasn't there at all. I just had nothing. So I went through and listened to it, and I removed every throughout. It was maybe like 10 minutes of me waffling. I removed every and it sounded so horrible because you could just hear
like
a clip.
Robotic?
And yeah, it was just robotic. It was nothing natural. There was no flow. And it's still up, so people can listen to it. It's just shocking. But I thought, no, that's where I started. And I've got to keep
really,
it up there.
I don't know, like... rewarding to see the progression.
It is,
like,
if I listen to it.
Where you've come from,
Maybe if I listen to it, it maybe isn't as bad as I remember, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty bad. So I'm sure someone now will listen to it and make sure that they message me and tell me that it's absolutely shocking. So thank you in advance for that person. But I was trying to remove all those things. And then Cabra and Ash from Perth, who claimed the throne, they were taking the piss out of me. And it may have been on their own podcast. I can't remember. Or maybe they told me in person. But I kept saying for a while, whatnot. something. What not? And so they started to say what not. And then I was so like, oh man, I've got to stop saying it. And then every time I went to say it, I hesitated, and I was like, oh man, this is so bad. So, but I think now, and I've just said it just then, the next one I'm trying to improve on is I think. Mm-hmm. And you watch now, you'll be waiting for it, and I'll keep saying, yeah, I think this, I think that. And I was like, well, stop thinking, just talk. You know? So, yeah. But anyway, so maybe just to paint the picture of where we are, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on some like luxurious penthouse suite overlooking Adelaide here. It's a pretty sweet spot that you guys are sort of residing in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, right in the heart of the CBD. So yeah, it's pretty sweet. Can't complain.
Yeah, we're very lucky, and we're moving out soon, so it's going to be good, but it's also going to suck because we're so used to having everything right outside our, you know, doorstep,
and we
can just, you know, go get Hungry Jack's at 2 a.m. if we want, and now that's going away.
I've certainly found myself at that Hungry Jack's,
and the one
around the corner at probably around that time as well, and
mm-hmm. It's an experience, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So I can say that burgers are better at Hungry Jack's when you've only got a limited amount of options to pick from. However, the clientele at that time of the day is, it's frightening. Absolutely frightening. I'm pretty sure there's several punch-ups that happened when I was there. I don't know where I was walking back from one gig anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that at any point during the day.
Yeah.
Realistically, maybe it peaks out at nighttime with that sort of behavior, but no, it's always... Yeah, it's always a show.
Well, I think it's anywhere. Like, any city's got it. But Adelaide, for me, has always been notorious for absolute rages. Like, just loose units, like, who are just, like, you know, terrorising the streets. Hindley Street. I remember, like, we played Adelaide on Friday night, and then Saturday we were driving to Broken Hill. We were picking up a hire van on Hindley Street, and it was, like, 7:30 in the morning, and all those bars along Hindley Street were all just... pumping, and there was girls like falling into the gutter, there was punch-ups, and there was like glasses being shattered. I'm like, the sun's out, like, go home, like, are you joking? Like, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah, we've had a few different mates, you know, like in bands, and like other close friends that are from interstate, you know, like come out, and you know, whether they're playing gigs with us or just out for like a weekend or something, and some of them have been just like totally shocked by Hindley Street. They just didn't see it coming.
Well, I said before, like, it's, I see Adelaide's like a big country town. Like, it's definitely the city vibe to it, but there's aspects of it where it just feels like one place that is just, every time I go there, I'm blown away by how absolutely mental it is Wagga. Like, Wagga Wagga, you go there and like during the day, beautiful, nice, you know, beautiful little spot in town, and the nature strips in the middle, but then get to like midnight, 1 a.m. in the morning, when everyone's getting pushed out of the clubs and the pubs, it's a war zone. There's people like, there's people falling into the medium strips, there's punch-ons, there's everything happening. You just go, oh my god, like, this quite little town, it's absolute mayhem. And it's that, like, it happens in Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane and all that sort of stuff as well, but it seems to be more amplified when you're in a smaller area where it's just in your face. It's crazy. Yeah. And I think a couple of guys in Ben, I wasn't there, but they were telling me that they went to Macca's at the end of Hindley Street.
Yeah.
And after a gig, and some guy apparently got on top of a table and did like a Karate Kid style fly kick across the thing to try and whack someone in the face with their foot. And there was just and there was blood everywhere and everything, and they were just oh my god. And I'm like, yeah, thank goodness I wasn't there. It was just like, I did not be anywhere near that sort of stuff. Anyway, painting a nice picture of Adelaide, of course, so it's lovely to be here. Yeah. Congrats on putting out a pretty shit hot album. Like, I mean,
thank you for
a band that's like, well, hey, from my point of view, had no idea about, and I think the band hasn't been around that long anyway. Or a couple of years, or a bit longer?
No, a bit longer. I think that Matt has been working on Freedom for a while. There was a different lineup originally when they released the EP Kingdom of Ashes.
Yep.
And that pretty much dissolved after they produce that.
Yep.
And the only people that are from the original lineup are Matt and Georgina.
Okay. Yeah.
And I came on about 3 years ago, I think, around the same time as Jared, who played drum for us.
Yep.
And then Corey came on maybe 6 months after that.
Yep.
So it kind of has been going on for a while, but we only really started gigging when I joined the band.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's
that kind of paints a rough timeline, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't pay attention to anything. So, like, but when I saw sort of, I think the album announced, and I think I've seen the name pop around a little bit, and especially like, you know, Jason and some of the guys in Adelaide always putting on shows and things like that. So I've sort of mm-hmm. seen the name float around a bit. But honestly, I don't think it was until you guys sort of announced the album that I sort of went, oh, this is like, what's the best way of explaining this without making it sound like I'm a dick? This is yeah, you got me. This is a legit band, like, you know. And I guess over the years you play with so many different bands and you come back through an area and you're like, well, what happened to that band? They're gone, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe they never even got a release out, or they did an EP or a demo or whatever, and just nothing sort of came off it, and a lot of potential there or whatever. And so EVP.
Yes.
Yeah, so EVP is obviously supporting the album and putting it all out. And yeah, it's just, it looks like everything sort of fell into place.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah.
EVP have been really awesome as well and very supportive of us.
Hmm.
So we've really appreciated that.
Yep.
Like, it's really nice having people that actually really like the music and believe in it and think that it, you know, it can do well. So they were, you know, totally in it with us, and it was all a really positive experience for us. Yeah, I think we were pretty stoked with the reaction. Did you want to add anything, Corey?
No, blown. Yeah, really blown away. I think everyone in the band put in like a lot of effort into trying to make sure it was like really good sounding. And of course, yeah, like Matt was like, you know, like pretty much the songwriter for it as well, you know, like he'd had like a lot of these riffs and song ideas already written when I'd like started joining the band and everything. And yeah, they're great ideas, great song structures, in my opinion as well. Of course, I really liked it, which is I think why I you know, ended up deciding to totally commit to it as well. And so really thankful to have like that kind of awesome songwriting to kind of get behind. And just a lot of fun recording with everyone. But I think it was just that sort of high standard that we tried to really push for turned out to be like a really good decision. It seems like the obvious answer, but I think sometimes it's easy in recordings to think like, oh, maybe, you know, that was just good enough the way it was. And then I think there was a lot of kind of like scrutinizing on our own parts about the production. So yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think it paid off.
How's it feel to be we've only just met. I'm taking the piss out of you straight away. How's it feel to be in a female fronted metal band?
God.
to be completely fair, like have you copped anything over, I mean, even in the last 3 years or so of doing it? I mean, I don't know what you were doing beforehand. I mean, I only know a little bit about you basically from
I know,
this band.
We just met.
Yeah, and we literally just met 15 minutes ago as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Freedom is my first band, so yep. I hadn't done anything before that.
Yeah.
And I haven't really copped any negative feedback from anyone. Everyone's
yeah, cool.
been pretty... You know, it's like, it's a non-issue.
And not that it'd be expected, but I think,
yeah.
I think when, like, I use that term female fronted thing, because it still gets thrown around all the time, like it's its own genre.
Like it's a genre.
And I'm like, what does that sound like, you know?
I know.
So, and
I totally agree.
Do you think that, but when you talk about that sort of thing, I guess stereotypically you think about, like, I don't know, who are those bands like? Nightwish, or like the sort of operatic sort of
yeah.
or very sort of stereotypical feminine sort of vocals that you would expect, all that melodic sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously what you guys are doing is just like, it's not that.
Yeah.
So have you had people that are sort of, I don't know, just been surprised, or just like, just because obviously like
no one should be surprised, but I don't know how much.
No,
I'm
get, dancing around. I get what you're saying. Definitely do get just, like, laughing at people me. Like. Definitely do have people come up after a set and be like, "Oh my god, I cannot believe that noise came out of you. You are like, they just can't process it."
Yeah.
Which is totally fun, and it's actually kind of really like fun to like. You know, get that kind of reaction out of people, yeah, like the yeah. surprise and or horror, like sometimes. yeah, it's cool.
That's mad.
I like mean, it.
I think it's so cool, and especially when it's just not that it's just well, it is more accepted. It definitely is more accepted than it has ever been before. Not that yeah. I don't think it was, but I think people just never thought that you know, women should be playing metal as much as guys are. Like, it's always been a guy sort of thing, or it's stereotypically. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I didn't really know about women, you know, being vocalists in heavy metal bands for quite a while. Like, I think I kind of became exposed to all that, like, pretty, like, late. Probably the first time I heard an instance of a woman in a metal band was Alicia White Gloves from Arch Enemy. And it was just that same instance where I was just like, oh, do you know this is a woman? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But it never occurred to, like, I had obviously, like, you know, been to metal gigs before that, and you know, I've always really loved everything about heavy vocals, but it never crossed my mind that, like, I could do that, which sounds really weird to, like, admit now, but I just, you know, I would, like, fantasize about it, be like, that is the coolest thing ever, I wish I could do that. And then eventually it was like, oh yeah, I could do that. And
did anybody, like, what was sort of the threshold where you jumped over and decided, oh well, I'm just gonna give this a shot and just see what happens?
Well, so fast forward a few years, I think maybe when I was 20, I started taking lessons at this school in the CBD called Australian
Army?
Rock and Metal Institute. Yeah,
yep.
Army.
Yep,
and I...
Shout out to Christian.
Shout out. and I got vocal lessons from Mitch Brackman. And yeah, we started off not doing heavy vocals. We both had a shared passion and love of, like, singers like Sia Furler and Kate Miller-Heidke. Yep, so we cool. did covers of them. And then I don't even remember what it was, but one day I was just like, hey, let's just give this a go, see what happens. And it turned out working pretty good.
Can you remember what you tried? Like, what song?
I can't.
I remember you doing my first memory of you doing heavy vocal stuff, because I was in the I would be teaching in the room next door.
Yeah, Corey was literally in the next room, like just teaching guitar, and I was just making crazy noises.
Yeah, I remember you doing like a Meshuggah.
Yeah, we did Meshuggah. I Am Colossus quite a bit. Yeah. That was an old favorite of mine and Mitch's. And that was, it was the same thing again, where when you come out of the lesson after, people would be surprised when I walked out the door.
Like, howdy.
Like, hi. Sorry.
Was this sort of a light bulb moment for you when you started doing that stuff, that suddenly you realized this is actually something I could potentially do more of? Or was it sort of more down the track that you...
I don't know. It was like years ago now, so it's a bit hard to remember, but I can remember like being really excited as me and Mitch were kind of, you know, working through it and like getting the technique and everything down, and it'd be like, this is like, you know, and Mitch was getting really excited. I think that's when I started like going like, okay, maybe this is a thing. Mitch was like...
He's pretty excitable.
He was... And yeah, I'm so lucky that I had him to like coach me from early on and instill all of those really good habits and techniques, like, which are really important, I think.
Yep.
There's definitely a wrong way to do it and a right way. And yeah, his like tutoring in the beginning was really invaluable to me. So I've kind of been set up like as best as I can, given the best start, I think.
There you go, a good foundation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He gave me a really good foundation.
Did you, once you start playing shows and getting out there and then having all those sort of comments going, oh, who would have thought that would come out of that person then?
Yeah.
Have you found that you've sort of had people coming up to you, like other women that sort of going, hey, that's really cool, and maybe, it sounds so wanky, but it's like, you know, getting a little bit inspired just by just seeing and going, hey, maybe I could give it a shot and just do my own thing?
Not necessarily
vocals, but anything.
At the last show that we did last week, was it last week? No, it was this week. Yes. With with Obituary and True Corroded.
Ah, yeah.
There was this lovely lady that came up to me after, and she said, I took a video of your set and I'm going to show my daughter, and she does singing lessons and her teacher says that she can't do these kind of vocals, but I'm going to show her and be like, yeah, you can. And so, it is cool getting comments like that. So, yeah.
It's cool, like, because one of the things I was going to ask you both is about Army and what Christian's been doing. Is it Connie?
Because I
mentioned it to somebody else today and I said her name. I'm like, oh, I think I fucked her name up. And I was like, no, that's Connie. So there you go, Connie. One thing, I've had Christian on the podcast before and checked out the place around not far from here. And it's almost like he's created this place, which is almost like this little factory of spitting out these great musicians, you know, and bringing in people that can obviously teach and, you know, teaching other people, and sort of like, it's almost like paying it forward, you know, upskill one person, get them on the ranks, teach the next people and bring them in. And it's not just young people, it's people of all ages. And it's just, it's super cool. But you've both been involved in it in different ways. Mm. And no doubt that's helped.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, Army was definitely like one of my first times into sort of, I guess teaching properly. Like I did a little bit of tuition previous to teaching there, but then Christian gave me like the opportunity to start teaching there when he was starting it first up. And because I just knew a friend of his that worked in a guitar store in the city, and so I ended up just meeting him kind of by chance, and because I was putting up flyers for lessons and stuff like that in the music store. And I think Christian's done, and Connie, they've both done a really awesome job of building this, like, you know, music school central in the city that's, you know, not just like purely focused on metal stuff and rock stuff, but like, you know, it's a bit diverse, but it sheds light on that sort of genre, and you know, it gives it a little bit of like a home for you know, just like younger kids who don't know anyone in the scene. They're interested in it, they're in high school or whatever, and they're like, hey, like, there's a place called Australian Rock and Metal Institute, you know?
That's
and
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he did well with the branding.
yeah, definitely.
Join the army.
Yeah. He's definitely nailed the branding on it, that's for sure. And, like, I think it's a really cool thing, especially because I think, like, so many mates, like, growing up as well, like, I was lucky to have a few mates at high school that were, like, into metal and stuff like that. But, I know other people that are like, man, I knew no one. Like,
yeah.
Knew no one at high school that was into anything heavy. Yeah.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really cool thing. Like, you know, it helps a lot of people get a bit of musical growth, and it's got a nice casual vibe to it as well, where you can kind of just rock up there and meet people and hang out a bit and that sort of thing. So it's a good thing.
It's got a very sort of homely vibe to the place, and sort of when I start to work out who actually goes there, who's teaching and things like that, I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of like either know or I know of the majority of the people are sort of, you know, rotating through here. And I thought it's so cool because it's such a network of people. And obviously, you know, whether Army's been the main sort of instigator of it or has helped influence it, there's so many artists and like musicians and bands that are doing really well outside of Adelaide that have all just been a part of that little thing, you know. It's super cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really it's really played a good like solid role in Adelaide's little rock and metal sort of scenes, definitely. Because there's people that are, I think, like, you know, from like psych rock bands that you know do a bit of teaching there now and stuff like that as well. So there's like, you know, it's kind of like involved in lots of these different pockets of the scene and and there's so many people that have been in been just students, not in bands, like Jade and they've gone on to join bands and do lots of really cool things. I mean, like, one of the ones for me was like a Jack Bolingbroke. He's doing like a lot of his own solo stuff now and stuff, but he used to get lessons from Christian and then he got some lessons from me and and I ended up doing like, you know, like a run of shows with him with his band Voros in China. And it's like, you know, it's just nuts to think that he was in high school getting lessons there and then, you know, he's just self-producing his own stuff now, and it's just cool to see that growth. And I'm sure he would have done a lot of things like with or without Army, but it's so cool to see that was a part of people's growth and their journeys, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that I noticed is that, like, I remember going to, I used to get guitar lessons when I was in high school, and it was just the best excuse just to get out of class. It's like, oh, sorry, I've got music lessons now, and just get out of class for like half an hour or whatever it was, and it would be some old guy who'd come in, like, he's not a teacher, just come in, he's part of the music department or whatever, and he's this one guy, he was just obsessed with blues, actually more jazz than blues, which just lost me straight away. But he had an old Strat. I think the only thing that was sort of, we had a bit of a common interest, he loved Malmsteen, and obviously, like, I had no idea. And I couldn't play. I couldn't play at all. But it was always about just, I'm going to show you something, you learn it. And it was just that transactional sort of thing. Whereas I guess speaking with Christian, just sort of listening to you both talk, it's not just about how I'm going to teach you something. It's like, how about doing this? Or why don't you try doing this? And sort of that encouragement to sort of not just learn the skill, but actually what you can actually do with the skills. Like, well, now you've got this, why don't you actually push yourself outside your comfort zone and play with this person? Or why don't you go and do this event or whatever it might be? And
yeah, I think that the events that Army holds, I think yearly or like twice a year, where they have shows at the Governor General, or there's a venue here in the city called the Jade, I think, that they do some acoustic shows at, that gives the students an opportunity to perform like a show, which for a lot of them would like not be an experience that they've had before. And that's, I think, well, from my experience, that was, I think, very valuable in very early on stages of my development as a performer, because I was very, well, I am not so much now, but I was really shy and, you know, no self-confidence kind of thing. And I think those things are like definitely really valuable.
It's really help, great. It? Like, that'd be a massive boost to your self-esteem when you're getting like, you can validate to yourself that you're able to do something, and so you can see your own progression, but then other people around you are cheering you on as well, to say, hey, you are doing really good things. It's not just you sort of trying to hype yourself up and keep yourself afloat. It's like other people lifting you up to hopefully, you know, max your potential as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that they've done a really good job of that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that you'll ever find yourself being a... I was going to use the term band whore, like Corey, but then I thought that's not terribly appropriate. And then the only other word I had was even worse than that. So I'll just stick with that. Do you think that you'll ever find yourself playing in a million different bands like Corey has? And have you got the urge to do that? Because he seems to get himself around quite a bit. I can't keep up. I can honestly not keep up with what you do, Corey, because you play in so many bands, and you obviously do session work, you're filling in for people, you jump on the road with things.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, but I can't keep up. Jade, do you think?
I think that, like, for the foreseeable future, I'm pretty committed to freedom.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think that I'm going to be doing anything else. Am I disappointing people right now? But yeah, no. I've become really committed to freedom, and, you know, I want to see it be, you know, successful and take it as far as we can. And I think that everyone else in the band has the same sentiment. So
how do you sit now, Corey? Have you found a bit of solid feeding now with freedom, or are you still sort of a little bit rogue?
Hello,
we've got an extra guest who's just rocked up. Come on over, Mitch. No, take a seat.
Nah, come on, Mitch.
Like Mitch to walk in on our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, how rude. Go to your house. Should I tell everybody what it is?
Go on.
Mitch.
We were just talking about you.
Yeah, we're just... Yeah, that's it. No, well, like, I think, like, I feel really solid, but pretty much between, like, you know, both Dissidia and Freedom of Fear are my musical priorities realistically.
Yep.
And anything else that I can kind of fit in around those, like if I just you know, like if I get offered maybe session work but there's nothing conflicting with those two bands, then that's probably something I'll take up. And so I just try to really keep as busy as I can with music, because I've learned, like, just putting myself out there in different situations, like, for example, doing the Truth Corroded stuff on a couple of tours was, like, awesome. You know, like, the very first time I did that, I was just used to playing, like, you know, mostly the progressive stuff. And so, I was really good at more, like, my, counting and time signature stuff and lots of different chops things. But then going in a Truth Corroded setting, it was, like, just total speed playing, like, for a lot of it, and, like, a real right-hand workout that I wasn't used to at the time. So that really helped my kind of, like, you know, straight up metal chops. And joining Freedom helped out a lot of different sides of that, because, you know, Matt's like a total beast of a player, and so is Georgina. So, like, you know, I learned, like, heaps from playing in Freedom as well. And so, yeah, I think diversifying, the kind of, like, playing, and also if I can do stuff for work that's music related, that's just, like, such a bonus. So, but yeah, pretty much Dissidia and Freedom of Fear, they're the two kind of just bands that I want to kind of be in, and I'm happy where I am now. So I think anything more, I'll, like, totally, like, lose my hair or something like that.
Just burn out.
Yeah, burn out entirely. Yeah. So yeah, it's cool. So and at the moment, it's like the rotation's actually been kind of nice. Like, you know, last year Freedom was really busy, like putting out the album and then tour at the end of last year, and then kind of in between all of that, like Dissidia had been starting, like, to record the album, and now it's sort of like, you know, so it's sort of like they're kind of flipping in between schedules a little bit, which
basically
works really well.
Me and Mitch have joint custody of Corey, and we have to share him.
mum and dad style.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I think I've always looked favourably on people that are able to sort of spread themselves out a little bit and do a number of different things. And I think especially, you nailed it on the head, like being able to play different types of music's, you know, increase your skill set. Like, you're able to play, you're more versatile, you're not just tunneled into one particular subgenre of playing or subgenre of metal playing or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You're quite versatile, and you can jump into a bunch of different settings now, and who knows, like, it could be a case that you get, you know, the once in a lifetime opportunity to do something incredible, and you could be up for it, and it could just be a one-off thing, and you'd be like, yeah, I can do it, and instead of just sort of going, oh, I've never done that before, I don't know how I'm gonna play. It's like you're a lot more well-rounded now by playing with lots of different people.
Yeah, for sure. No, it feels good. And the more stuff like that I seem to do, the more comfortable everything kind of gets as well. So then it's also like I enjoy doing the stuff that I'm most comfortable at, or the stuff I started with, like the more progressive stuff, I guess, or like just metal stuff in general. Like when I go back to that, like, it was like after doing lots of classical guitar at uni and stuff like that as well, it's like going back from that, everything feels even more comfortable again. And I don't know, it feels like each of them kind of help each other out by making everything more enjoyable as well. So it's like, it feels like a win-win really, as long as it's nice and balanced, and you don't, like, burn out too badly in the process of it.
Are you still doing a lot of videos yourself? Because I know you're doing that for a little bit.
Yeah, I've been super slack. Like, I've been with that side of things. Yeah, pretty much since like about mid last year, I think. I think I've been terrible with the YouTube content, but I've been trying to get snippets regularly on like Instagram and stuff like that. So like semi-regularly, every few weeks or something like that. But yeah, YouTube's like my cover stuff is just totally died off since starting to record the last Freedom album, because pretty much as soon as the Freedom album recording was done, I jumped straight into doing the Dissidia album. Yeah. And then so pretty much since then, it's like only been about a month or two ago where I just haven't had anything to record. And so I'll probably get a cover out or a few more covers out in the next couple of months, hopefully. But yeah, I've been a bit slack.
It's sometimes like you look at that stuff and you think, it's a bit sort of, it's like low hanging fruit, sort of like, anyone could do that sort of stuff. But it's amazing what sort of attention it can draw back to all the other things that you're doing as a player and a musician and as a band. Like, I'm like constantly banging my head against the freaking wall with Mark and Tim in our band about doing guitar videos. I'm like, guys, everyone keeps talking about how great of a guitar player that you both are. Just do some videos. And I've managed to squeeze a few videos out of Mark, and he does some every like once in a blue moon. And I think with Tim, I mean, Tim's immersed in a million different things, and I think for him, he's got to get into the headspace and do it, and I get that. But I think also Tim has such a high standard of what he does that he would need to make sure that he's got a full production set up, everything's ready to go. It can't just be like, just press record and just smash out a lick or anything like that. He's got to really put in he's got to make sure the quality is there. And so it's almost this level of perfection that, it takes so much effort just to get into the headspace, let alone actually executing on it. But I just look at that stuff and I go, man, like, the amount of extra attention that you can draw to what you do just by that. I mean, I just think of, think of your average Joe Blow that listens to Triple M and just, like, their rotation's Metallica and maybe the heaviest thing in the world, Slipknot or something like that whatever. And, if they're lucky enough to be exposed to any of all of it, like our bands...
Yeah, sure.
And they go, oh, wow. And like, who would have thought this was from Australia? And it's like, yeah, this shit's been around for years. Like, wake up. But like, they're not exposed to it. But sometimes these little gateways of like a Metallica cover, like a solo or whatever, a riff or Megadeth or the usual staples or something like that. It's just like, it's like a little carrot going, hey, come over here. And then suddenly there's a related video that kicks in or whatever it is. And
no, totally. I noticed that big time with the Symphony X crowd for me, because that's probably the most like me, the most covered by me sort of thing, because I'm like the biggest Michael Romeo fanboy, like, or I don't know, like probably me or Mark, I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be one of the two. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just for the sake of my own life, I'll say Mark, but but who knows? You guys can duke it out. Hey, maybe there's a collab there, like between the two of you, do a video back and forth. Smash it out. Who can do pick a song, and then who can do the riff, do the solo better, and then everyone can vote on it.
Yeah.
You can do upvotes over like a 1 week period, and then you can get a dumb little badge for it.
The spoiler is it's Mark.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know. Like, I think that sort of little crowd though has got like such a killer devoted scene to it. Like the Symphony X like crowd, and it was like putting up a few different covers of that stuff. And yeah, it's funny how I got like a few people that were like, man, I want to see way more like Michael Romeo covers and something. I don't know. And yeah, and it spills over to some of the original band stuff. Like a few people commented on the YouTube video and they're like, oh, like one person was like, oh, I checked out this video, and another guy was like, oh yeah, I checked out Freedom of Fear's latest thing that you just put out. And yeah, it does really spill over. It's cool.
It does. And I mean, we've fallen into the trap of leaning heavy into covers over the years. I mean, some people only think we're a covers band, just the amount we've done. But it's been a massive help for us to be able to sort of anchor people and say, hey, we're actually a band, like we exist, you know, whether it be that dumb as fuck Colin Minogue cover or playing Metallica or something like that. And it just brings in people and they go, I discovered you because of that cover. And you go, yes, it works. It totally works. And as irritating as it is, like getting to a gig and you're about to play and someone comes up and goes, you got to play the Colin Minogue cover? And it's like, man, we put that out 10 years ago. Pretty sure we've released some songs since then. And I'm pretty sure we've released some original stuff. And I just say, oh, you never know. And I know we're not going to play it. So it's not going to happen. Prepare to get your heart broken.
Yeah.
But it can be a really cool thing. You just got to make sure you don't abuse it. Like I think we may have on a couple of occasions, but there you go.
No, yeah. I like you guys' covers. Oh, yeah, I remember the Kylie Minogue video clip coming out way back. Showed a few people in high school for
You haven't seen it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you haven't seen it?
Oh, my God.
Jade, you might be the only person in the world. Mind you, not that it's got a lot of views, but like the way that everyone talks about it, it's like, come on, guys, like get over it. Stop sharing that video around. So I'm actually pleased to know that you haven't seen it. So you can watch that later on. Let me know what you think.
I'm so excited.
It's very dated. Oh, actually... Yeah, it is very dated. I think, it was 10 years ago we filmed that. So it kind of holds up in a way, but a lot's changed over the years. But yeah, a bit of fun. And mind you, like I'm shitting on us doing cover songs, and I'm, hang on, I was just about to say something I shouldn't. Oh no, who gives a fuck? Tim probably listened to it. Whoops. I've gotten in trouble so many times for saying things I shouldn't say, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do some sort of release later in the year that's got something to do with covers, and I've got no idea, and I can't really say anything else, but anyway, get the gist.
Amazing.
Get two and two together. Yeah.
A Christmas album?
Christmas album. Okay, so I'll throw an idea out there and someone else can steal it because I'll never convince the guys to do it. I've tried to in the past. Okay, I honestly want to do the, and it's hell cheesy, but I reckon someone can pull it off. It's just got to be the right band. I want to do the 12 Days of Christmas, but with like obviously the 12 things being something that's either culturally related, Australian related, or whether it be metal related or whatever. You got to pick a theme. It's got to be something that's sort of unique to that, and obviously metalized, etc., without it being too ultra cheesy. It's a Christmas song. It's got to be cheesy, I guess. So,
yeah.
I tried to get the guys to do that a few years ago, and they're like, "Oh, it sounds a bit hard." And oh, well, who's going to put it all together in the lyrics? And I'm like, "Oh, I can't." And then I got over it, and then I tried to bring it back again, and it just never happened. So,
bring it back.
So, yourselves or anyone else out there wants to give it a shot, then go for it. But, yeah, it's up for grabs. Because I'm quite surprised. There's definitely been parodies of it, like online. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure there's like no sort of metal version of that. I might be wrong. There might be somebody out there.
Probably Mitch and I's favorite. Favorite Christmas album of all time is
Panzer Ballet. Is that that's the band Panzer Ballet?
Yeah, Panzer Ballet. What was it? Death
Metal Xmas or something?
Yeah, Death Xmas Jazz or something. The album's called, and it's
terribly wonderful.
Yeah, it's a few of the members of like it's like two or three of the members of Obscura, I think, and a couple of other like just total like jazz nerds doing like this ridiculous fusion death metal.
But all like the stereotypical Christmas songs.
Totally like Christmas arrangements, but really like. Yeah, just really, really horrifying. Probably like totally frustrate most people out there if they hear it. It's like you just don't want to play it for like your mum while she's driving or something like that.
Well, I think. I mean, I can't stand Christmas carols. I feel my skull implode. Just breaking apart.
I was in choir through primary, and so I did my time singing carols.
Scarred?
Yeah. It's just like, why do I know all these carols? Oh, because I had to learn them when I was a kid.
I think the only exception I make for Christmas carols, and I know everyone will cringe and some people roll their eyes, but John Farnham's got a Christmas album that he put out like years ago. It was like 70s, I think it's 70s or 80s like Farms. Recordings. And it's ultra cheesy. It's almost like this swing sort of stuff, but it's digestible in the fact that I know it's John Farnham singing, so I allow myself to enjoy it. And I put it on, and Jess is like, my wife goes, "Oh, Christmas carols? What?" And then she hears him and she goes, "Oh, it's Farnsey. Okay, all right."
Yeah.
As you were.
Oh, the crystal clear voice of John Farnham. Angelic.
Crystal clear. I said the greatest vocalist of all time. But anyway.
Do you remember the ad that John Farnham did for Rundle Mall?
Oh, yeah.
It's the greatest something of all. Yeah. Like so bad. Dancing in spandex.
I guarantee every 3 to 6 months somebody tags me in that Rundle Mall ad and says, "Hey, have you seen this?
It's the greatest variety show of all." That's what it is.
It's actually pretty good. It's a pretty good jingle. Yeah, it just keeps popping up. I think I don't know if you guys know Matty D, who
totally.
So he's over
shout out to Matty D. Yeah, shout Matty, out to the Diamond.
The Diamond messaged me this morning and he said, what are you doing in Adelaide? And I go, oh yeah, I'm here to do some podcasts. Well, he goes, oh, make sure you go and booze it up at Crank. And I'm like, what's Crank? And then and then he just didn't reply after that, and I was like, okay. And next thing, like, I'm so used to seeing his Insta stories where he's just dancing around in his jocks with this like pedophile mustache and his pedophile glasses or whatever. And he's just, oh, he's such a character. I love that guy.
They just released a video clip the Dirty Pagans.
I have not seen it yet, but I've seen a couple of screenshots.
Won't spoil it.
Where's my card?
Yeah. It's probably just the only hint is American Psycho.
Right, okay. So Dirty Pagans, what's the song?
Pagan's Blood.
All right. So everyone listening, they can go and check that out. There's a plug for you, Maddie. But earlier this week, I'm pretty sure he tagged me in the Rundle Mall ad on Instagram and said, hey, look. And I'm like, yes, thumbs up. I've seen it. But I will watch it again. Absolutely.
Your monthly reminder.
Yeah, it's just this reoccurring thing. It's just like, or whenever.
Sleep paralysis, but it's John Farnham singing the Rundle Mall song
like
that.
Oh man, it's just
gosh.
It's just constant, like just drilling into my head. But I it's either that or people that like every time someone does a cover of You're the Voice, I just get tagged in it all the time. And I've got this running thing where, and I partly do it for show now, where I have a bitch and a moan saying, why do people cover You're the Voice like this? Like, he's got this entire like amazing back catalogue, pick like one of the million other songs he's done, and so people deliberately now go, oh okay, so I am definitely going to tag you in this every time. So my news feed's just like clogged with You're the Voice covers. I'm like, thanks guys, appreciate it.
Yeah where's a bit of love to That's Freedom?
Yeah, that's right. Oh man, okay. Maybe we shouldn't turn this into a John Farnham podcast. I forgot that you liked Farnsy, and I was just like, oh geez, okay. You're going to encourage me to do something.
I'm a fan of any cheesy, iconic Australian like rock.
What do you mean cheesy?
Yeah. Well, I've got a question to ask for Mr. Podcaster. Farnsy or Farnsy?
Yeah, good call. Look, it's definitely going to be Farnsy. However, I have grown a strong love for Barnsley, especially sort of mid to late 80s Barnsley. Really good stuff. Freight Train Heart, best album, like one of the best Australian albums of all time. So I'll throw that out there for...
What about the Something's Wrong With My Baby duo?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. Yeah, especially when they're trying to outdo each other towards the end, and they keep going... It's just like, now your turn, Farnsy. Oh, your turn, Farnsy. Back and forth. It's like, whoa, how much more ridiculous can this get? It's amazing. It's so good. So good.
Riffs.
I was definitely tested when they did the collaboration with Human Nature. I was like, oh, I'm really getting...
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Every Time You Cry. If you heard it, you'd know it, because it was like I think it was like late 90s or something like that. And really popular, and that definitely tested me, because I was like, oh man, I really don't like Human Nature, but it's Farnsy, and how do I handle this? And then I eventually sort of half liked it, and then when I found myself singing, I thought, oh, it's all over now. So
yeah,
so there you go. So it's the only Human Nature song. It's not the only Human Nature song I like. I don't like any Human Nature songs. I like that Farnsy song that Human Nature song. Yeah. There you go. There's the technicality.
I like it. Loopholes.
Yeah, that's right. Loopholes. Oh, man. So, I was going to try and hit up old Jace, in town this weekend, but he's off gallivanting interstate he's following the old obituary tour around and doing some stuff with them. But, Adelaide seems to be, like, this little mecca of metal, which for years, like, everyone just took the piss out of, like, no one would come here. And I think you still see the running joke every time, like, Soundworks in particular, like, announce a tour and they skip Adelaide. It's like, oh, where's Adelaide, bro? Like, you know, but I mean, it's come along leaps and bounds. I think it's like, it's amazing. Like, the amount of bands and obviously tours coming through here. And like, you know, for us, like, it's one of the best cities to play in the country. I think we got more people. Actually, it's the second highest turnout on our tour in Adelaide. Sydney was number one, but you guys beat Adelaide. You beat Melbourne.
I think Adelaide really likes Lord, but I think there's a common misconception when it comes to Adelaide and the Adelaide metal scene in particular, because I think a lot of promoters kind of avoid coming to Adelaide because of the small ticket sales when they're doing, you know, pre-sales for tickets and whatnot. But Adelaide is weird in the fact that it actually turns up on the door mostly. Yeah. You know, we'll have 50 pre-sale tickets for something like Lion Arts and 100, 150 people on the door that only buy tickets on the door. So I can see why promoters don't really want to send bands here, because they think that it's going to be a waste of time. Yes. But it's not a waste of time. We all come and we all enjoy it. It's just...
We're non-committal.
So you're just waiting for that last minute better opportunity just to go, I'm elsewhere.
Yeah. I think everyone's getting better with the pre-sales, but yeah, it's a weird like little cultural thing here where it's like so many people are like, oh yeah, that's on. And then it's like I think so many people don't get their tickets, and it's like the week of it and everyone's like, yep, we're going. And it's
Maybe everyone's just too laid back.
Yeah, everyone's too lazy here.
Like, we're just like, yeah.
Mostly me, I'm talking about me.
We're not the nanny state though.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, mind you, like, you know, when we did our tour in July, I'm pretty sure that Adelaide had the most pre-sales out of any other city. Jason sort of went, what the fuck? Like, you know, and look, we've been lucky here when we play, like, I actually don't even know what it is. I don't know why Adelaide for us, but I mean, we've been really lucky, but... You know, I kind of get the vibe from a lot of bands that they tend to do reasonably well here, and especially Sydney's sucked for years. It's picking back up now. It's doing a lot better. And this weekend is the first weekend after however many years that the lockout laws have been lifted. So no more lockout laws.
Congratulations, so, Sydney.
Thank you. Yeah. Only King's Cross has got lockout laws, which I could probably argue for and against it either way. it's a bit of a wild spot, but that'll obviously open up opportunity again for Sydney. Like, you'll find that it's not just about staying open late. It's about all the licensing, all the red tape, all the money, all the costs involved, and suddenly you're going to have venues suddenly going, oh, it's affordable to actually put live music on again. So you find that your options are going to be so much more, which is really cool. But I've always sort of, I mean, I think the other cool thing about Adelaide is that with the laws here around licensing, I mean, Fowler's is really good now, Lions, you know, with the sort of the mixed, you know, all ages over 18 sort of thing. I don't think there's anywhere else in the country that allows that. You know, Melbourne, you can come in with a guardian, I think, but I think it's still at the venue's discretion. Maybe it's similar to Adelaide, I don't know, but it's not as encouraged. Whereas, like, you know, we would deliberately, like, not that just because Fowler's is a better venue in some cases, but we would push for Fowler's just because we could get that split. You know, we could get the split there.
Yeah, well, like even just the obituary gig this week was all ages. Yeah,
oh,
so
really?
So there was like a 14-year-old or like probably a bit younger. Sorry, not 14-year-old, but there was probably even like maybe 12 or even 11-year-old kind of kid. He was like, you know, look up on probably his dad's shoulders or something, and he was like rocking out during you know, like those like iconic James Murphy solos and stuff. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, but it's awesome to see that, because I think so many places a band like Obituary is just like it'd be actually pretty crazy to think it would be an all ages gig. Yeah,
I also think that Adelaide's cool like that. If you know, because we do a lot of under 18 sort of gigs, it inspires the younger group to want to go and see more metal bands when they get a little older, and it inspires young people to want to get into bands when they're young, you know, so they've got time to develop and whatnot in a small place like Adelaide. I think that can be a really good thing.
It's a big reason why other places around the country have suffered, because there's nothing there for the next wave of people, next generation of people to come through. Like, you know, I remember getting into music and I'd go to in-stores. So I was living in Brisbane, so I go to in-stores and they'd just have a band on there playing in the corner or whatever. And so you go in like, oh, wow, there's like not even knowing like the genre of music, some BS or whatever. But it was just live music. It was so exciting. And so that would already inspire you just to go, I want to be cool like that person, even though I don't really like the music. And then it was like, yeah, there was a few all ages shows that sort of popped up, but you know, I was sneaking in the gigs, like trying to get in, like walk in with a bunch of guys who are over 18, just like sneak in with them in the middle and just hope that I can get in. And
what was the success rate of that?
It was actually not too bad. It was over 50-50. So Yeah, but I mean, I sort of always had the game plans like, yeah, Dad, pick me up, you know. But it was like, if I didn't, and I was lucky that I had people older, I was always the youngest. Everywhere I've been, it's only sort of been recently now where I've started to get a bit older that I've suddenly started to say old people things, and I've started to be around people that are younger than me, and I've gone, oh, okay, all right, now I'm transitioning into old man status. But I've always been the youngest person, like in starting out in music, playing in bands. I've always been the kid, going to gigs, and I've been lucky, like, you know, having older people around me who sort of just sort of led my hand and sort of said, hey, here's music, here's different bands, here's all the subgenres, here's what's cool, here's what we think is cool, here's what's not, and you sort of work out yourself after a while. And it was just such a massive thing for me, because I wouldn't have got into metal if it wasn't for that. Being exposed to it.
I think the first times I started playing gigs ever was with like Ben Sims' band, Matronarch.
Yep.
And it was like because of like, you know, like, yeah, that again was like,
every Lisa coming to get you, Ben.
Yeah. He was like that. He was that sort of like, yeah, older friend that I jammed with, and he showed me bands like Lord and like other sort of stuff that I was into at the time, and yeah, like Sonata Arctica and stuff like that. Like when I was like, yeah, really like getting into heaps of heavy music. Yeah, it's cool having that sort of older crowd.
You guys want to know something really weird? Yes. I think that one of the first gigs that I ever went to, like the first metal gigs I went to, was a Dissidia gig before I knew Corey and Mitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Really? Yeah.
And did you go, what the fuck is this?
Nah, I thought it was the best.
Yeah?
It was so awesome. I went to... I think I was going because I think that was a gig you guys were playing with Server Hill.
Oh, the cavern.
Yeah, the cavern, when the cavern was still open.
Wow.
So, yeah, ages ago. And I went to school with some of the guys who were in Sever Hill. So I went to go see that, and you guys were on the bill as well. And, yeah, it was one of those instances where I was, you know, saying when we started the podcast that I was just like, man, this is fucking sick. Oh, sorry, Mum. I'm going to tell her not to listen to this podcast.
Fuck, sorry, Jade. Jade's mum. Really fucking sorry about that.
Sorry, yeah. Shell. But yeah, I was so into it. And stop! I was telling myself before we started, it's like, I'm not going to swear.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything inappropriate on the podcast. I blew it.
it's only your own reputation, really. I don't care. I mean, I honestly don't care. Like, you know, if it's free for all, this podcast. People have said the most ridiculous stuff on here, and maybe one day it'll come back and bite me in the ass.
Oh, no.
However, I do not care. So it's only your own reputation you've got to worry about. So be as inappropriate as you wish.
I don't know. My reputation's already downhill. No, I'm joking. Joking, I think.
Come on, Corey, tell us a really inappropriate story about yourself.
Well.
Have you got one? Jay, just put the mic in Corey's face.
I've got a lot.
Take the attention away from me.
You know, you guys don't want to hear anything.
Yeah, all right. So do you guys have any 2020 New Year's resolutions or any big plans for the new year, professionally, personally, whatever?
Well, yeah.
Drink less beer.
Oh, how silly.
Says us. We've got beers all in front. I'll have to take a photo, actually.
Yeah.
Currently surrounded by beer.
Yeah, we are surrounded by beer.
Yeah. For me personally, which involves both these wonderful people next to me, the next sort of thing on the, I guess, go for me is the Dissidia album, really. Like, so that's going to be launched at some point in the very near future. We haven't announced like any specific dates, but I mean, probably by the time this comes out, we would have announced it. But essentially, we got the new Dissidia album coming out in March, which we've slaved up for a little while, and I think Mitch and I are super super stoked with it. So yeah, and then writing lots of stuff with Freedom as well at the moment with Matt. So Matt, of course, Matt's busy writing that, and I'm joining in on a bit of the writing this time as well with him, which is a lot of fun.
Bit of new territory. So excited about Corey writing new territory for you. So you weren't writing on the previous release or not much?
No, pretty much not really at all. Like, I mean, there was a couple, or like, I think one sort of majory bit that I sort of wrote with Matt, or by major, I mean like one partner section that I wrote with Matt. And I wrote like a harmony line with one of Matt's things. So I did some sort of like harmony stuff. Of course, I wrote my solos and that sort of thing, and did the recording of the rhythms with Matt. But pretty much song structure wise, riff wise, all those sort of things, that was all Matt's doing on the last one. I think quite a bit of it was pretty much done before I was in the band, like or a lot of his ideas were done. So I mean, in terms of writing with Matt, I find that we're pretty similar minded in terms of like what we actually really like, and and because I know now, well, I think I know at least reasonably well what the Freedom sort of sound is about and what it involves. It's actually really it's really easy and refreshing for me to like write to Freedom stuff because it's a different dynamic to Dissidia. It's like, you know, Dissidia is more piano piano guitar.
I'm hard to write for.
Well, you know. Anyway.
Put on the spot there.
Well, no, but it's just a different dynamic. I mean, the like dual guitars versus guitar and keyboard essentially is the biggest difference songwriting wise for me. And so it's really cool to be able to utilize some other ideas that, I mean, just won't work if you translate it to like guitar and keyboard or something like that. And you're like, or you know, if there's a riff idea that's just a lot more like kind of like blast beaty death metal in nature sort of thing, that would be something that I'd be trying to maybe shoehorn into Dissidia if I wasn't doing Freedom or something, you know. It works a lot. So there's ideas, I guess, that just work better for one band than the other as well. And it's really easy to actually, I think, to find that. Like I was a bit skeptical of like, will it be a bit of a mix or something? But it's actually quite refreshing to do a bit of both. And I think the limitations of, I guess, the ensemble or the, you know, the band with each one in terms of what instruments are there and, you know, harsh vocals only versus clean and harsh combo creates totally different dynamics for chord progressions and riffs and things like that. It's and yeah, two guitars versus one guitar, one keyboard. It's a totally different dynamic. So it's a lot of fun. But trying to write to Matt's sound that he's developed quite a bit, and I think Matt's pretty happy with
you
what
guys
we're doing.
Look really well together.
Oh, thanks. No, I'm stoked. I'm stoked with it. He's a great songwriter, and we get along really well in that process. So it's cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Jade, what's your 2020? What are you doing in 2020?
I have no idea.
Did you give yourself any unrealistic goals to achieve?
No, I always make very realistic, well thought out New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
But Corey's being a dick off mic.
Yeah. And the listeners are going, Corey, shut up. Sorry. Can't hear anything. I so need, I actually, just before you say anything, I've got this Zoom H5, and some people will be familiar with it. And it's got a couple of XLR outputs. There's a H6, which's got four, and I'm on the verge of buying it. And I just keep thinking, but how often am I actually sort of in a setting where I'm talking to more than one person? And then I just walk into this and I'm just sitting here going, man, four mics, everyone holding it would just be absolutely perfect. Mind you, the podcast would probably go for 6 hours.
It would also probably be hectic and we would probably be talking over each other.
Oh, yeah, but, you know.
Like we usually do.
People love that, you know. Not really fun.
Healthy social progress.
Yeah. No, I think that, just elaborating a bit on what Corey said, I think that I feel this time around, because the first, my first real experience writing lyrics for an album was Nocturnal Gates, and it was quite a learning experience for me. But now that I've done that, and I think coming off of the, I guess, success of the album and the tour, and I think we're in a really good place where we're like, you know, in a really good place where we're like enthusiastic and writing music, and Corey and Matt are writing things and I'm writing things as well, which is different because last time I procrastinated a little bit because I got overwhelmed by everything, but it worked out okay in the end anyway. But I think that, yeah, that's kind of my main goal for this year, is just to keep like kind of churning stuff out while it feels good, and yeah, just seeing where it goes.
Cool.
Yeah. Other than that, Pilates.
That sounds like a challenge. That sounds like a challenge.
It hurts, but in a good way.
I was saying to you both before, like, you know, walking around Adelaide, and I gave myself this ridiculous challenge. I think I'm up to the eighth week where I'm trying to do 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
And so I've got this good system where I go for a walk in the morning, usually really early, like 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I'll walk for like maybe half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. And it's just like leisurely. Like there is no progress whatsoever. Like there's nothing. But my goal is that eventually it'll get to a point where I'll start to maybe jog, or then maybe run.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of not setting the bar too high, so maybe that'll be like 5 years down the track of just wandering around cities, you know. But it's so hard to get even just that, like 10,000. I'm like, yeah. 10,000 steps. I probably do that every day. No, I do, like, honestly, if I don't think about it, I'm probably doing like 1,500 to 2,000, because you get in the car, you go somewhere, you're sitting around all day, sitting at a desk. It's just nothing. Like,
yeah,
it's
just I do next to nothing because I have an office job. And that's kind of my motivation for, you know, I need to do some physical exercise, yeah, or I'm going to just, yeah, and die at 40 or something.
And if anyone wants to feel really shit about themselves, if you've got an iPhone, go into the health app and then click on the steps. That's how I calculate it.
Yeah, and on the iPhone.
And it will tell you how bad you are. that was part of my wake-up call. I heard someone else talking about it.
I deleted that app.
You can delete it, can you?
I think so.
Oh, well, maybe you just hit it somewhere you can't find. Well, don't tell me that. Can't, because you delete eventually it? I'll get frustrated and I'll just delete
sure
it.
I deleted it, because I have an old iPhone 5S and it's glitching like all heck, because it's like, yeah, you need to update.
No, that's
you
right.
need to update. So I need to update the apps like every other day.
Oh, it doesn't do it automatically.
So yeah, and the storage on it is so. So I delete all my apps, like, because I'm refusing to like give in and buy a new phone. Corey's laughing right now because he's been telling me for weeks that I need a new phone.
it might be time to upgrade. You don't need the brand new one. I always say buy like two models back because it's cheap, and they're usually like lightning years better than what you've already got. So I think I've got a 7, and 7's like an artifact now compared to what's out there. So, but it does the job.
7.
Yeah. I know. Light years from yours. Well, I'm pretty sure I went from a 5 to a 7, and I was like, oh my god, like I can't believe, you know, this luxury. You know, it's amazing. Yes, yeah, Skynet.
No, man. I think it's a trap. I'm just putting it off as long as possible. My 5S is actually pretty sturdy. I feel like it's like the Nokia equivalent of like...
Yeah, bring like, back the Nokia.
Yeah,
look,
yeah,
calls
yeah.
and texts, that's all you need.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
But yeah, I don't... How did we get on that?
I don't know. No, I was talking about steps.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
The main question, though, is that for me, is that your main motivation, surely, for the morning walks is the bin chickens.
The bin chickens. Oh, you've seen the Insta stories.
I've seen it.
So okay. So anyone that's that follows me on Instagram will see the Insta stories. Every once in a while you'll see this bin chicken, and it is what I think is the same one every time. It's in the same spot. So I walk down the end of my street. It's like a little alleyway, and there's this dumpster behind a restaurant. Cafe or whatever it is, and there's this fucking ibis sitting on top of it, and he's just tearing apart these black garbage bags and just flicking the food all over the ground, and it smells so bad. It's just rotten. Like, this smell of rot. And every time I go past, I just do a little Insta story, take a photo of him or a video, and I just go, "G'day, mate," or yeah, "Good afternoon, sir," or "Top of the morning to you."
Does the bin chicken have a name?
No, I actually haven't. All right.
Give him a name.
Yeah,
I know you should call it Jade.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay. And we have it. Jade the bin chicken. Jade. All right.
Jade.
Any parting words, Corey?
Well, thanks so much for having us on, man.
Thanks for having me. Definitely. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's awesome. Thanks for having us. And yeah, I don't really have anything too impressive to say, realistically.
What about Mitch? Has Mitch got any parting words? Any words of wisdom for the listeners or the company that you have right now?
Yeah, can't Mitch.
You can swear if you need to.
Continue listening to the podcast.
Oh, jeez. Far out.
We'll give you a little bit of a plug.
so polite.
I'll also give my band a little bit of... I don't know if anybody knows my band. Or,
yeah, go. Do it.
No, no one does. No one knows.
Get ready for the new D Squids album. It's going to come out this year, and we're going to have a great time. We'll be around the country.
People are typing D Squids into Google right now, going, "I can't find
who's the squidier."
D Squids.
But let's make a big impact with this album, boys and girls, and let the freedom of fear and the decidia love train roll on forever.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm keen to keep my eyes peeled for this this Lord potential, maybe not Lord release of or something or other. I don't know.
Thanks for bringing that back to everyone's attention.
Yeah. That may or may not exist. Maybe.
Well, yeah. Stay tuned for that. Maybe later in the year, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Jade, any last words of wisdom? Any parting thoughts? And Jade just looked at me like just shock horror on her face. Just say anything. First thing that comes to your head, and then we'll wrap it up.
It's been good. I've never done a podcast before, and you've made it really easy. So, thank you, Andy, for making it really easy for
us. Alrighty, time to support the scene. Dissidia's new album, Costly Signals, is out right now, and Freedom of Fear's new album, Nocturnal Gates, is out right now. You can go to facebook.com/freedomoffearaus. And you can also go to facebook.com/DissidiaBand, DYSSIDIA. And I'll put all the links in the show notes, of course. So if you're listening to this on your phone, hopefully the podcast player that you're listening through will have clickable links. So just stab the screen with your digits. Otherwise, if you're listening on YouTube, there's a bunch of... no one listens on YouTube. Bugger all. Anyway, there's links in the description there. Anywhere, everywhere. AndyDowling.net, AndySocial.net. There'll be show notes. There'll be links. Nice and easy. And I'll also have the social media handles for Jade, Corey, and Mitch as well. So make sure you reach out to them. As with every guest that's been on the Andy Social podcast today, to make sure you let them know what you thought. Give them a bit of Andy Social love. It goes a long way. And it's just a nice thing to do. So that's enough for me and for this podcast for another week. Another crazy tour coming early next week. Another guest coming this time next week. Until then, folks, take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Ta-ta.
Larry, please.